currently in the pasuk Zayin, Perik Ches pasuk Zayin. Gam Chasidah v'Hashemayim Yodah Mo Adeha. The Chasidah is one of the birds, one of the non-kosher birds. And the reason why it's called the Chasidah, as the Radak will mention, is because it does Chesed im Chavrei Seha. It does kindness with its fellow birds, it shares its food. And we all know the famous Chazal, if it does, it's a good bird, it does kindness, it has the Midos of Avraham Avinu, why then is this a non-kosher bird? And the answer is because it only does kindness with Chavrei Seha, only with its friends, members only. Does not do kindness with outsiders. And that is not, that is a corrupt form of kindness, and therefore it is a non-kosher bird. The pasuk here says that the Chasidah b'Hashemayim Yodah Mo Adeha, it knows its seasons. We'll see in the following few moments what this means, is that it knows in the winter. In the winter, where it should travel, where it should migrate to a warmer climate, and in the summer, it knows that it's too hot to remain in a climate of heat, and it migrates to a colder climate. It's always on the move. It knows how to protect itself from harm. Now we have three more birds, a sar. Sar is a turtle dove, which is one of the birds, the popular birds that abroad that are used for korbanos. We have a sis. A sis is a bird which, I'm not exactly sure what kind of bird, it says over here in the English translation that a sis is the swift. Anyone familiar with this bird? The swift? Okay, and oh good, that's what it says here, I have no idea. And the crane.
Chasidah,
not really.
I don't think. Translated as a stork.
Stork, okay. A stork, there are a lot of storks. Storks is a very, very broad term. There are many different types of storks. Okay, anyway, we have a cis, we have the agur. Agur translates a crane.
The
cartoon character.
It's translated as the crane.
No, that's the agur. I have that.
And the swallow.
Okay, so we have a machloikis between the Judaic and the art skull. Because in the art skull, it translates the third as the swift and the agur as the crane. So obviously, we don't really know what these birds are. The Targum has a discussion. We'll see the Radak. We'll see it in one moment. Shamru, let's go for it further. Shamru es es bo ana. They guard the time of their arrival. In other words, these four categories of birds, there must be some great significance in why these four birds are selected, but it seems that these four birds, they know how to take care of themselves. They know how to protect themselves from harm, even though they lack intelligence. That's what the Radak is going to explain. They lack intelligence, yet they have a natural sense of instinct of protecting themselves from harm. The Ami, but in contrast to these birds, Klal Yisrael, who has, not only do they have intelligence, they also have been given the tools to succeed in this world. They've given the Torah HaKadosha, yet Lo Yadu, they do not know Eis Mishpat Hashem, they do not know Hashem's judgment. There's very precise words here in this pasuk, Mishpat. If you do an Avera, you will be punished. If you do a mitzvah, you will be rewarded. It's simple as that. Why then would a person be so foolish to do Averos and lose out an opportunity to do a mitzvah? You will receive reward and punishment. A person has intelligence, a person has given the tools to do so, has given the mitzvahs, has given the Torah, has revealed the schar v'oinish for the mitzvahs, yet Hashem here complains to Klal Yisrael, they are foolish, they do not take advantage of what they've given. They're even more food. They're on a lower level than the birds of the heaven. Let's see the mitzvah.
Do animals and birds have a sense of right or wrong, or just instinct?
That's a very tough question. Do animals have a sense of, do they have bechira? This is an age-old question. Age-old question. What exactly is going on in the minds?
There's a reason for it. It's an instinctive reason.
Is it an instinct? Is there a bechira chofshes? Do they have free will? Free will. Tough question. I don't think there is a clear answer. And even if you're...
The guy in charge of...
It's a tough, tough question. What exactly is going through the minds of animals? Do they have bechira chofshes? It's a very tough question. is there hashkacha pratis for animals?
When so animal hasidus only stays in it. Does it know it's only being
called? So maybe you want to differentiate between birds and animals. And the Chazal, you know, they say al pi kabbalah that the hasidim there's a belief that birds are the gilgulim of neshamos of beinonim. Meat are the gilgulim of the neshamos of rishoim, and fish are the gilgulim of the neshamos of tzaddikim, and therefore Shabbos is a time to eat fish, and basar is something which you should generally stay away from. Not only because it's not good for your, it's not healthy, too much cholesterol, but you don't want to take into your body the koyach of a rasha unless you know how to be misaking it. This is way out stuff. Okay, let's not go off the topic. But you ask a very tough question. Why did the pasuk here give an example focus on birds? Why don't we focus on animals? Because every single creature has natural instincts. It knows how to protect itself. So why did the pasuk select birds? And once we're going to select birds, we know the Torah enumerates 24 types of birds. Why are we selecting these four specific birds? From these four birds, three are not kosher. Only one is kosher. The Torah is kosher, but everything else is not kosher. I don't have any clue to the answer. I didn't see any of the commentators explain the significance why specifically these four birds. Let's see the Mitzudos first. Mitzudos pasuk, very powerful Musar. Pasuk Zayin. Gam chasido b'shamayim. Afilu oif hachasido hashoto ba'avir hashamayim. Even the chasido that flies in heaven, ashreinena birushus adam, that's not under the jurisdiction of man, haloiteida zimaneho, it knows its set times. Mosai telech mosai toshub, when it should go forward, when it should return, kidarko lo'oif bizman hakor la'artzos hachamim, it's a derech to fly in the cold to the part of the world that is warm. Ubizman hakayitz, and in the summertime toshuv le'artzos hakodim, returns to all birds. That's exactly what I said before. I know all birds migrate to some degree. All birds. So why these four? I don't know. Shamaru, they guard gam hema belechtam liartzos hachamim mamtinim ad es boam. They wait. They're patient. They know exactly with precision when the time is to return. V'lo yakdimu v'lo yeochru. They do not come too early. They do not go too late. But in contrast to these four categories, the birds of Yami return to lemar ha'ifah sahim yoidim derech minig olam. But the Yami, my people, unfortunately, the Yami lo yodu mish. They do not acknowledge that the Shparchu is in control, and he will reward and punish a person accordingly. Rashi Pasik Zayin, the Chasida. He has here a French word, a Mechal. What do you say this word is? The Chasida?
Zigon in French means stork.
The stork. Okay, Moadeha. Moader, it's set times. Eis Avram El Iye Hayam Ibne Hatzina V'Eis Shuvam, the time when they go to the islands. Islands, I guess, are a warmer climate because of the cold, and when they return. What? Okay, the islands of the Mediterranean. So they're going there for a warmer climate. Shamaru, here he translates the word Shamaru, very interesting, Himtinu, they wait. They wait for the right time. The Aviv Shomar Es Hadavar. Yaakov Avinu Lel Shimurim. Well, there it's a little bit differently. Lel, anticipation. Anticipation. So they're anticipating when exactly they're going to go and they're going to move. Here he translates three words. These are from the Targum. Vitar, Visis, Viagor. This from the Targum. Vishafnina, Vichurya, Usino Nisa. And then he says, what is Kurya? Kurya, he says, is the tar, Gurabalas, Sinonis, that's the third word, is Arundilabalas. Okay, so these are three different types of birds. Let's take a look at the Radak, Pasik, pasuk zayin. Gam chasida afilu oifa she'ein lohem seichel. Here he elaborates a bit more. Even birds. Now he seems to be saying that these birds, I guess from the category of birds, they lack intelligence. Maybe that implies that other birds have a greater degree of intelligence. If you break down all the different types of birds, I guess there are different levels of intelligence. These four birds, he seems to indicate, have a lesser degree of intelligence than their companions. Yet, instincts. Dimyon over here means through their koyach of the, whatever Hashem has given them. In their instincts that they have, they automatically know to distance themselves from harm and to come close to good. They guard their custom, and what they live, their environment. They're careful with regard to their environment. However, the ani, in contrast, my nation, sheyeshlam seichel. Number one, they have intelligence. Lo yadu es mishpat Hashem. Shayulham lodas mina seichel. V'gam l'shamu l'fi mashe inhigu oisa mori haTorah. Furthermore, they have a tradition. They have the Torah. Uma. Here is some of the Radak. I've taken note that Radak, he likes to do this. I didn't really pay attention to this and take some time to get into this. The Radak likes to draw parallels between the Nevi'im. That is a very interesting topic of discussion. To go and to take the same exact concept or the same exact event, especially when they're predicting the future. You don't have it so much in Yirmiyah, but you have it more in the Treyasa and with Yeshaya, predicting events of the future, the fall of certain nations, whether it's Amoin, Edoim, Mitzrayim, or Tzor. You take different nations and you have different ideas, and you look how different Nevi'im express exactly the same concept. And there are nuances, there are differences of expression, and those differences of expression don't just shed light about, they give a different perspective, but it also opens up us to a deeper understanding of the Navi himself, of where he is coming from. So here he says that this concept that Yirmiyah is expressing, that human beings, that Klal Yisrael are worse than animals, was expressed also by Yeshaya. But here's what is unique. Yeshaya expressed this in terms of animals, whereas here Yirmiyah is expressing it in terms of birds. Which one, would, in your opinion, would be considered a greater insult to Klal Yisrael? You're worse than an animal, or you're worse than a bird? What? Worse than an animal? I don't know. But it's interesting. I don't know the answer. Amar lahem Yirmiyah gzol zekedel shama Yeshayahu yoda. Sure, this is the haftarah of, I think, what is Erev Tisha B'Av, Shabbos Chazoin, if I'm not mistaken, Yoda, right? Shabbos Chazoin, Yoda Shor Koinehu, an axe knows who it belongs to. The Chamor, a donkey, it knows Evus Be'olaf, knows the feeding trough. The Avos, the Olaf, but V'Ami Lo Yoda. The pasuk goes on to say, but my nation, they do not know. So therefore, the original up here that we pick up here, the same exactly the same theme. One is focusing on an animal, one is focusing on a bird. I leave it to your imagination which one is a greater degree of Musar. Yeshayahu lived almost 200 years before Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is the tail end. L'chayra, at the time of Yirmiyah, people have sung to a much lower than they were at the time of Yeshayahu. So I guess at face value, you'd have to say that comparing a person to a bird is a greater insult. But as you said, Mr. Klein said, maybe it would seem all the way around that an animal is worse. So then you would have to say that Yeshayahu, who was on a much higher madrega, was able to see much deeper. He was able to see the depth of wickedness. Yirmiyah was only able to see the superficial wickedness of the people. Yeshayahu, who was on a much greater level, a much deeper person, was able to see a greater depth of wickedness, and he insults Klal Yisrael by telling them they are worse than animals. Any event, I think it's just a very interesting concept to see Nevi'im express the same idea, and the differences in how they express it. Here is a great example where we contrast the insult with the same idea, animals versus birds. Now, obviously not. I don't believe so. Look, they say, look, it's well known that whales have a very great degree of intelligence. Dolphins. It's very well known that chimpanzees have a very degree. Elephants. I'm certain they are birds. That's what they say.
The smallest brains are easier on them.
Dolphins, they say they have... I'm sorry. Then. Dolphins. I'm making a mistake. Dolphins. I've read that they have sequences of sounds that are so sophisticated. A human being could never come up with such a... It could memorize...
Very low harmonic that can hear from one end of the ocean to the other. It doesn't mean intelligence.
I don't know.
What difference is it make? For intelligence, if their instincts cause them to behave in a certain way, and we can learn from that behavior, that's all that's necessary.
Okay, all right, absolutely. The old, if we would live among animals, it would be a different world. We don't live among animals, so we don't have any sensitivity. We don't have the sensitivity to appreciate these things. The old Zohar Chasida, the Zohar Bashamayim. Okay, now he's focusing. Why do we focus on the Chasida? So it seems the Chasida, from all the creatures, it distances itself from man the most. It dwells in very, very high towers. Lefishi mikanenes, it sets up its nest. The Yishuv in the Yishuv in the inner city, b'migdolim. What?
Civilization.
In civilization, it doesn't live among man. It finds these tall towers, and that's where it sets up its shop. Hagivoyim, which are very tall, umidbar, and in the desert, be'etzim hagivoyim. The common denominator is the Chasida likes to stay, to put its nest in a very, very high location. Kamo she'amar, Chasida b'roshim be'isa. Chasid b'roshim is the name of a tree, cypress tree, which is very, very tall. That's where it establishes its home. Lefichach, therefore, we're just coming to consider grammatical, just coming to explain over here the word usage. Why does it say Chasida b'shamayim? Bashamayim means, Bashamayim does not necessarily mean that it's flying in the heaven. It means the Chasida that is found high up in the sky. That Chasida, Shugavoya, Omar Bashamayim, Shuhu Gavoa Ho'avir, it's high up. Kemosh Omar Gedolos, Uvitsuos Bashamayim, you find with Bashamayim in reference to the cities, the fortified cities in Eretz Yisrael by the 31 kings, it was Bashamayim, it would, the cities that were fortified, it doesn't mean that they were flying in the heaven. It means they are tall. So therefore, the word Shamayim sometimes in Tanakh is a metaphor for the word tall. You can substitute it for the word tall or high up. Derech HaNesha Bashamayim, it flies very high. V'achasidim min ha'gol, lishkoim b'imei akar v'achar b'mokim echad. In the winter time, during the fall and the winter, it stays in one location. V'achayitz, v'achayim, in the summer and the spring, or whatever, these two expressions mean the beginning of the summer, the end of the summer, b'mokoyim acher, v'zehu, and that's the significance of the word moy adeha. It's seasons. Different times of the year, it can be found in different locations. Sh'ama v'loy sishne min hoga, it does not deviate. But v'yami, what is the following, how does this pasuk follow through? M'shanim mishpat Hashem sheyod uhu b'seichel, they are m'shane, the way of Hashem, sheyod uhu b'seichel im yirid. So if only they would apply themselves, they would come to the realization that it does not pay. Crime does not pay. Sin does not pay. The God who love avosayim bohem. Furthermore, they have been given, they've been taught. They have no excuses because they've been taught, it's been passed down to them from their forefathers. The einim reitzim l'hachazik bo, they refuse to take advantage. Now the Mamloes has a beautiful idea. He says the significance of it saying yod'om moya, when we contrast it to Klal Yisrael, it's referring specifically to the Tkufa of Chodesh Elul and the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. Just like birds know their different seasons, in the winter you go to Florida, and in the summer, I don't know, where do you go in the summer?
Cold,
you go to Switzerland, okay, everyone has a place. You go for the different seasons, you go wherever you go. So to Klal Yisrael, Hashem has given Klal Yisrael seasons, special seasons when to do teshuva. There are times to do teshuva, and specifically the Aseres Yimei Teshuva and Elul, well, even also the Ben HaMitzorim is a special time to, that's what we're coming up now to do teshuva. Hashem has given Klal Yisrael set times during the year to do teshuva, times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dirshu Hashem B'Himatzo'o, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself available. So therefore, if we had the sensitivity to recognize that during times of the year, Hashem makes it easy for us to do tshuva, but we have failed. What?
Isn't the concept that tshuva is ongoing?
But it's not. I mean, yes and no. There are different tekufos in the year where there are seasons where it's easier to, if a person would do tshuva the entire year, the same every single day, he would do tshuva, then it would be meaningless. It would have no feeling. There are many people that are very against saying slichos every single day. Nusach Sfar says vidui every single day. Shachris Amincha. Chatas Vivisi Pashati. So when it comes to Yomim Noiroyim, and you say Chatas Vivisi Pashati, it loses its value. If you only do it occasionally, it has much greater meaning. There are certain Gedolei Yisrael that were very makbid not to sing the Nusach of the Yomim Noiroyim throughout the year. The Nusach of the Yomim Noiroyim of the Tfilos is sacred. You don't sing it for Zmiros, Shabbos, Chanukah time. You don't. It's off limits. You only have those nigunim come to your mind only in the season of the Yomim Noiroyim, in order that it should make an impression upon you. If it's done all the time, it loses its value. That's what it says up here. Moi adeha. There is a season for teshuvah. Teshuvah is not something you do the entire year round. I remember someone once saying that he doesn't understand the Sfar, and every day they come shachas and they clap chatos. He says, I don't have time to do all those averos every single. I just don't. How did you do it so? Bishlama over a whole year, once a year, okay, and chaperein a little bit here, a little bit there. But from last night, last mincha to this morning, you already from shachris to mincha, you chaperein so many averos. Rotsa Kadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es. So someone told me this recently. Someone was complaining that. This you get a real kick out of. Someone, a Rav, was complaining that you must put a filter on your smartphone. You must. So this fellow said, I don't understand. It says in the Mishnah, Hakina, Hataiva, Vehakovoid, Maitzines Adam in Olam. I'm so busy the whole day with Kina and Kovoid, I just don't have time for Taiva. He gave us the kina and the covet. There's just no time for this. That was supposed to be a joke. Okay, let's go.
Correct yourself every day, Red.
The there's a mile and a chesaron. The mile you have to draw. That's what the Nusach Sfar. The Nusach Sfar holds that the advantages of focusing on chet every single day outweighs the disadvantage of it becoming stale during the Yomim Noiroyim. But Nusach Ashkenaz disagrees. Obviously, everything has miles and chesaronas. Let's go to the last part of the pasuk. The last part is, now he goes over here into some translations, we'll do this very quickly, and a little bit diktuk. He talks about here, the tar, the sis, the ogur, three more types of birds. Gan came shamu es eis bo'ana b'mokim echad b'zman yedua. They also are meticulous. They are also precise in when they migrate to different climates. B'zman echad, b'zman achev b'mokim yedua. Hakol lefi hishtanus hatakubus v'azman, all depends upon the seasons. V'shoymois chukonu min hagam v'lo yedua. yishnuhu, they guard their seed, they guard their set cycle, and they do not deviate. But veloi kein ami, my people are not, they do not behave, they're even worse than birds. Now, what exactly are these creatures? So the Radak in the Radak elaborates, the chasid, the perishu, rabbi says from Levracha, zo daya livona, it's a white daya. Okay, whatever that is. For Lomnikra Shema Chasido, we mentioned it, Shoise Chasidois im Chavroi Secha. It's a kind bird to those who are paying members. Kloimar Bimizainois Shemechalko Lohem, it provides food. Vyesh Mefoshim Sheikh Shakarin Law Tsigonya. Okay, another type of bird. Vitar.
That's what Rashi
said. Rashi said that, and then that used as a stork. Stork, okay. What is a tar? Tar is a turtle dove. That we have all over. We have that all over in Chumash. That's all Torah B'nei Yonah. A sis. Now it's a kivach sif. The way it's spelled with a vav, but it is pronounced with a sis. Interesting. You know, there's a tradition that every creature that exists on the earth has a parallel to a bird and a parallel to a fish. However, we don't necessarily give them names. Just like there's a horse, we have a horse. So there's a seahorse. That's a chazal. It's not just something which a man has invented. I mean, there's a convention. They go and they call a certain type of fish. They call it a seahorse. No, chazal say that. Chazal, it could very well be that what the Umos Olam call a seahorse is not necessarily what chazal define as the seahorse. But for everything that we ever, every type of creature that is mentioned in the Torah, there's an equivalent among the sea, and there's an equivalent among the birds. And what is also very interesting is that usually, this is a Mishnah, Masechta Tyrus, I think, usually if the creature is Tameh on earth, it's Tahar in the water. If it's Tahar, it's a kosher. If it's a shar, it's a kosher animal. The equivalent of a shar in the Mayan is a non-kosher fish. It's all, there's always this flip side.
I don't know if that's, well,
it's a Mishnah.
Who's putting the label on, for example?
Chazal's label. Right, so a chaz, right, okay. So it's Chazal's, not the label that's given in the Ummah Islam. It's Chazal's, which we don't know, of course, because we don't know, we don't have ideas. But the same thing applies to birds. Okay, the sus, so ksiv bivav, it is spelled sus. So obviously over here, this bird obviously is the equivalent of a horse. Okay, it's equivalent of a horse. Again, this is a parallel. It's called, it's spelled sus. It's a bird that's the equivalent. It's called, it's spelled sus, but it's pronounced sis. V'kri b'yud. V'chei nimsa kosov b'yud v'kar b'vav. Kisus agur. We have another example where it says in Yeshaya, like a kisus agur kain atzafzeif. It makes a lot of noise. Like a, there's also, it's spelled with a vav and it's pronounced with a yud, like a sis and like an agur. So too Yeshaya says atzafzeif. I go and I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna wail. I'm gonna complain over the tragedy. The Targum Yonas, and we had this Rashi quoted this, the Kurkia, a Kurkia. What is a Kurkia? Kurkia is the name of a bird which makes a lot of noise. B'divrei Rabbi Sein Zichron Livracha, Kam Rish Lakish, he got up when he was upset, when he made a protest in a matter of halacha, Tzavach ki Kirukia. He cried out like a kruchya, which is a bird which makes a lot of noise. Well, Perish Rashi, Zal Rashi, it says it means guru abalas, whatever that is. Agur, Targum Yonasan Visino Nisa, B'divri Rabbi Sinsach Levracha, Emas, what is a sinonis al hanesher? A nesher is terrified from this little creature, appears to be a sinonis. I don't know what it is, whatever it is. So you said it means the crane. The crane, or what are you saying? It means the swift, whatever it is. Who perished? Rabbeinu Hai. The Gemara says that the nesher is terrified from this creature. Nesher is a very important creature for us because we are eschem al kanfei nisharim. Nesher seemingly is not what we call an eagle. Okay, even though it translates it in the art scroll as eagle, we know that it cannot be the eagle because a nesher does not have, a nesher is the only bird that has all four simonim of being a non, the Gemara says this, of being a non-kosher bird. An eagle has an etzba yisera, has an extra finger. So there's no way, an extra claw, so there's no way an eagle, at least al derech pshat, at least on a similar understanding, that an eagle can be the precise meaning of a nesher. Nesher appears to be some type of mysterious super, some type of mysterious creature that does not exist, that we're not familiar with. The Gemara says that it does these very strange things. It flies very, very high. It gets burnt up in the sky, and it reincarnates. Okay, it's a mystical, a metaphysical creature. We know whatever it is. So therefore, if it says here that the nesher is terrified, obviously, I think what the Radak is coming to allude to, the Radak basically over here, if Yirmiyah is focusing on specifically these four creatures, obviously, I mean, we know the Torah itself lists 24 birds. Okay, and the Gemara says that's the minority. If the Torah lists the 24 birds that are not kosher, it must mean that there are at least 25 birds that are kosher. So we're dealing over here with at least 49, we're dealing with at least in the Torah, without question, 49 birds. The Torah lists the Torah is mekatzer, so it lists a smaller number. And being that it lists the birds that are not kosher, and that's the then it must be there are at least that many birds that are kosher plus more. So if there are 24 birds that are not kosher, there have to be at least 25 birds that are kosher. 49, that's a nice number. 49 is a very popular number in Yadus. 49. And if the Pasuk here is specifically focusing on these four birds, obviously each one has very great significance. And the Radak, you see, he's struggling to extract what is the significance. So in the Chasida, he says, well, the Chasida does chesed. The Chasida does kindness. And that was selected. What's the message? I don't know. It does kindness, so we're trying to learn from it. And then he focuses on, then he mentions the Sanina. It is the bird which is a source, the adversary of the Nesher. The Nesher is our best friend. The Nesher is what's going to carry us to Eretz Yisrael. And yet, the Sonisa is the adversary. It's the nemesis of the Nesher. Obviously, there's some significance in why the Pasuk is selecting this bird, but he's not giving us much more. Okay, he says over here, what is it? And then he gets Perish Rabbeinu Hai. It's Kataf Ba'aravi Behu Hadardor. It's the Dardor, whatever that is, Karn Balaz, Run Dina. The Yesh Mefarshim Hu Oif Hametzafsev Milois. Some say it's a parrot. A parrot which can imitate a man, atos milos matos, it can parrot a couple of words. Kiloshin bnei adam kishmuladma. So when you teach the person, which is called a git balas, they used to have a fascinating article. They wanted to introduce a parrot as evidence to murder. There was a person that was murdered. It was murdered, and there was a parrot in the room. There was a parrot. No, this is not fiction. This is in the news. Only like 2-3 weeks ago, there was a parrot that was in the room when the murder happened, and the parrot was saying the last words of the victim. It kept on saying the last words of the victim, and from those words, it was evidence who the murderer was, and it was a court case. If this parrot can be admitted as evidence as to who is the murderer. Eidus Yato Yochel Hazima. Very good. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. So this is the most. Now we begin a new pasuk. This pasuk is Eicha. Now Eicha is a very powerful word. If I'm not mistaken, this is the first time the word Eicha appears in Sefer Yirmiyah. Who is the Mechaber of Megillas Eicha? Yirmiyah. So Yirmiyah, he wrote Megillas Eicha, and he selected that word to begin Megillas Eicha. Obviously, that word had a lot of weight, carries a lot of weight in the vocabulary of Yirmiyah. Here, in his Sefer, where he in general is coming to give Mustak Klal Yisrael, so now he finally used the word Eicha for the very first time. And indeed, the Medrash says from here, the way the Pasuk is used in this context sheds light on really in Yirmiyah's mind what the word Eicha really means. Because you look at the Megillah, it's poetic. It's like Shir HaShirim. It's hard to get a solid definition of the literal meaning of the word. Because everything in Eicha, you're taking words and you're putting it into a pasuk, and it's more poetic, it's more symbolic than it is literal. Mm-hmm. Here, these psukim are much more literal than Megillas Eicha. And here, indeed, the way it's being used is, the Medrash says, it's Musar. From here we learn, I'll actually read the medieval through the passage first. Eicha soimu chachom, Eicha soimu. How dare you say, chachomim anachnu, we are wise, we are smart people, v'soras Hashem itanu, and the Torah of Hashem, we are talmidei chachomim, it's Torah umadah. See this Torah umadah, over here they're saying number one, the chachma, the sin b'farshim is chachma chitzonis. You say that you know the sciences, you know you're cultured people, you know chokhma, and you also are talmidei chachamim. Achein, how the truth is, hine la sheker osa, all that, hine la sheker osa eight. You have made for yourself the quill for the purposes of falsehood. Sheker soifrim, your scribes are false. Okay, it's a hard pasuk. Let's see the mefarshim inside. Let's see first the mitzvahs pasuk ches. Pasuk ches begins with sarask v'chulu. Ritzoynoi loymar yoidim anu es ha-Torah. How dare you say that you are wise? He doesn't really explain the mitzvahs, the significance of saying that you are chachamim. He just focuses on Torah Hashem, that you know the Torah. Ochein be'emes. The truth is, hinei l'chinam osa ha'oises ha'kulmes lichtoif sefer ha-Torah. Whoever went and made a kulmes, who fashioned a quill. You know, there's a lot of chachma in making a kulmus. It's a big chachma. If you ever take a course in Safras, you'll spend at least a couple of days teaching and practicing, mastering how to make a kulmus, a quill. There's a lot of chachma in a kulmus. Everything I would have, the ksav, the ksiva of your style of writing will all depend to a very large degree on how you make your quill. To make a quill, whoever made an exerted effort in creating a quill, he's wasted his time. Well, it's a waste, because whatever you're going to write, all of your chidushei Torah are lies. If you don't believe in what you're writing, then it doesn't have any meaning. L'chinam hoyu ha-sofrim shekasvus ha-Torah. The scribes who wrote the Torah have wasted their time. Hoyul since ve'einchem mekayimim oisa. You don't fulfill what it says in the Torah. So Yirmiyah here is giving very powerful mussar. If you don't practice what you preach, your the product, what you produce has no meaning. Your chidushim, your sifrei Torah, our apostle, an apikores who writes a Sefer Torah, or a Mechalal Shabbos who writes a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah's apostle, it has to either be burnt or put in Geniza. And that's exactly what he's saying, that you people, you're not observant, therefore you're wasting your time by making quills and by writing Sefarim. Rashi pasiches eichein hinei lasheker, hinei chachmaschem lasheker bochem, your wisdom is nothing more than sheker. Then Rashi is leading into the next pasuk, lirefuaschem al nikala. That's the next pasuk, that you repeat, the scribes or the leaders of the generation, they're writing articles in order to heal the anxiety of the people. Everyone in society is afraid, they're terrified that the enemy will come and destroy them. They heal their anxiety by telling them, don't worry, everything is going to be a-okay. You heal them al nikala with words that are lowly words, words that are insensitive, which are not correct. Also, Eila Sheker Seifim Nidiachem, your scribe. So he's translating over here that your Seifim here is a code word for your prophets. We have in the Gemara, why are Chachamim called Seifim? It's because they count the letters of the Torah. The word Seifer is a code for a leader. For whatever reason, counting, putting everything together in perspective, summarizing, and creating creating encyclopedias and compendiums, this is what Talmidei Chachamim specialize in.
Certified Torah accountants.
Accountants, so that calls him Ezra HaSoifer. Ezra, what was he called? He was called Ezra HaSoifer, the scribe. But Ezra, that's really a code word for being a Talmud Chacham. So here as well, Rashi says that when it says over here, Sheker Soifer, it means that the prophets, the leaders of the generation, they are Mole Sheker. Okay, let's see Radak. Radak is a bit more elaborate. Now look what he writes over here. This is very interesting. This is what I said. Translate when I said the pasuk. So everyone avoided this. Everyone just said that we're chachamim. We're clever people. We're clever people, and we know how to learn a daf gemara. That's the impression you get from Rashi and from the Mitzudos. There's no mention over here of chokhma chitzonius. We're chachamim. We're clever, smart people. We can learn a daf gemara. We can say a shir. We can say shalashudis Torah. So Yirmiyah says, you bunch of good-for-nothings, you bunch of hypocrites, you bunch of liars, and everything that you say, all your Chiddush Torah, is worthless because you don't practice what you preach. Radak has an entirely different approach. He says, B'chokhmos chitzonios. Why does he need to say that? How do you people say that you are wise in the ways of the world? You're cultured people. The oid, in addition to having chokhma, you also have the Torah's Hashem itan, the Torah is with you. You also klaimar etzlenu hi kesuva achein. Now, interesting, isn't the why these two need to go together? I don't know. Today they would put you in chayim for saying this, because today they would say if you want to have chokhma etzlenu, you have to first Torah comes first. It's Torah and then it's nada. It's Torah and then it's das. No one say would call yeshiva das v'Torah. They would call yeshiva Torah v'das. That's really why it was called Torah v'das. If you read the book, the reason the book of Shragaf Halim and Galavish, the reason why it was called Torah v'das was the same way, the same reason why, the same thing you say about Torah Mada, was because it was a yeshiva that was established to learn Torah and to teach the boys a secular education so they can be prepared to make parnasa. That's why it was called Torah v'das. The money was given. What?
Now they got rid of the das.
That's why it. So they didn't call it das for Torah. They called it Torah das. Torah umada. Okay, same thing. Torah and mada, science, knowledge. Mada is knowledge. It's really the same thing. Mada and das, the same thing. So here it says chacham. The ikar is chacham. Maybe over here he's coming to give musar is that your priorities are out of order. Eicha soimru chachamim anachnu. I'm saying a drush now. The musar that he's giving, the musar that according to the Radak that he's giving Klal Yisrael is you have put your priorities are not in the correct order. If you would have said Torah Hashem itanu v'chachamim anachnu, we are talmidei chachamim and we're also knowledgeable in the sciences. Okay, your priorities are in order. Excellent. Then you do averos. There's room to work. There's room to maneuver. We'll work with you. We'll do tshuva and you'll become tzaddikim. But if your priorities are out of order, and the ikar is chachamim anachnu, and it's only secondary, Jewish education is secondary, that's already a problem. That's already a serious problem, putting the order in a different direction. Okay, achein lasheker, next word over here in the pasuk, achein lasheker osa eight. You have made the eight. The eight is the pen, the quill has been made lasheker. Im taras Hashem imachem, if the Torah of Hashem is with you, ma to'ilu im loy tekaimu el sa, what benefit is if you did not fulfill, you did not practice what you preach? Nish asa chumas lichta v'esol l'chinam asa asa, the one that made the chumas is wasted his time, v'chein sheker seifim ha-seifim kotsu v'esol l'chinam, the seifim have written the seifim to l'chinam, ki achrei she'ein atem mekaimu el sa, if you're not going to fulfill the Torah, ha-rei hi ki'ilu eina kesu, as if it does not exist. La-sheker, la-chinam, sheker is, it's a waste. I believe this pasuk is a raya to a very is right to a very interesting something which very is accepted, but people still debate this issue. When you go to a sofer, so let's say you commission a sofer to write for you a pair of tefillin, to write for you a sefer Torah, and you have two fellows, and they're both shomrei Torah u'mitzvos. Let's make no mistake about it. Two good people. One of them has an exquisite handwriting, and the other has an average handwriting. But the one that has the average handwriting, you personally know to be exceptionally righteous, exceptionally pious, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a Yorei Shamayim, on a different level, a different caliber. But the other one that has an exquisite handwriting, his ksav is just off the charts, he's a Yorei Shamayim, let's make no mistake about it. And this, what his ksav is done, halacha 100%. So the question is, you now have to hire one of these two people to write for you a Sefer Torah, to write them, and the price is exactly the same, maybe whatever the price, not the issue. Which one of these two should you hire? Which one of these two should you hire? So you can argue, listen, they're both Yorei Shamayim, there's no shail about it, everything is kedas uchadin, ze keli v'anvehu, so let me have the one who's going to have the exquisite ksaf. I'll have a beautiful Sefer Torah, comes, everyone's going to break, look at the beautiful Sefer Torah. Why not? On the other hand, the person who is writing the Sefer Torah is an ish kadosh, it's a holy person. The other one who has an average Sefer, he's a very holy person. Maybe that has more weight. So what would you do? It's a tough call. It's a very tough call. The one, and you want to go break and show, look at the beautiful Sefer Torah, my tefillin, how beautiful. On the other hand, you know, this is you know who wrote these parashios? So a holy person. He puts his Yirah Shamayim goes, it seeps into the ksav. They're not more kosher. Exactly the point I want to make over here. They're not any more kosher. When you'll bring it to the biggest mumcha for bedika, it's a big business in there. It's supposed to be a baidik. I learned a lot about this. I went because I was involved in ordering tefillin for my nephew. So I learned a lot about you know, in America, it's much more calm. So the scene is much more at peace. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot more action, and there are some. One of the biggest. Remember, we learned a couple of years ago. Not a couple of years ago. Last year was Sefer. We spent like a week on a Sefer called "The Inside of Stam." The Inside of Stam. This fellow, he's an American. I mean, Eretz Yisrael is recognized as being one of the biggest experts. Experts in magia. It's called a magia, a person who checks the tefillin. I was talking to my brothers. I learned a lot about Safra's narrative show about tefillin and different. But this is a very big issue. If you have in front of you two parashas of tefillin and they're both 100% kosher, and you'll bring it to a magia person, they'll examine, they'll tell you they're both 100% kosher, no questions asked. But one has a more beautiful ksav. So is there...
The person examining is not going to know the person writing his intent was his thoughts.
Oh, that's the question. Does it really make a difference?
Yeah.
When it comes to bris mila, it's clear that it doesn't make a difference. If you have two people who are... let's say the hero is a child of Yaakov Kamenetsky. It was presented. You have two people who can do a bris mila. One was a conservative rabbi, and the other was Shomer Torah Mitzvos. But the conservative rabbi was also a surgeon. Also had very good hands. He was a mumcha in bris mila. And the rabbi who was Shomer Torah Mitzvos, he was okay, but his hands shake a little bit. Who should you hire? So I know someone who lived in Texas. He was there for Kiruv. This goes back many, many years. So he called up. He had a baby boy. And these were his options. These are the only two people he'd get to do the bris mila. He called up Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, love to talk about, take the conservative rabbi. Take the conservative rabbi, Uminyat. For bris mila, the only thing that counts is Uminyat, results, exactly. For a Sefer Torah, you can argue, the only thing that counts is results. Which Sefer Torah is more beautiful? Ze, Keli, Vianveyu, a more beautiful Ksaf. Yet you see over here from this Radak, from this Pasuk, and really it's a really right from Rashi, is not a, let's leave that, but Yudak is no, the one that's Mekayim the Torah, the one that's Mekayim the Torah, his ksiva has more significance. Not the Yoifi of the Ksav. Here it says in the Pasuk, La Sheker Osa, 8, you've made the 8 La Sheker, Sheker Soifrim. Radak and Rashi, are you Mekayim the Torah or are you not Mekayim the Torah? That's what counts. If you Mekayim, if you are Mekayim, what it says in the Torah, then the Soifer is a Soifer MS, and the 8 is an 8 of MS. If you're not Mekayim what it says in the Torah, then the Soifer is a Soifer of Sheker, and the 8 is an 8 of Sheker. Now,
that would be against women writing Sefer.
That's a halachic issue. That's a whole different issue. But over here, you see, we have a person is a kodosh. A person is a very, very holy person. I really had this shaila. I had questions love with two people. And one person has a very artistic ksav. It's a very beautiful ksav. And the other person doesn't have such an artistic ksav. It's a very good ksav. It's a different type of ksav. But this person, he's a very holy person. I met him. I was introduced to him, and I observed him. I mean, I just met him for a short period of time, but there's no question. I know the other person. I know the person's a very artistic side. I know him. He's a wonderful person. He's a very good person. He's a wonderful person. But this other person, I got to tell you, he really makes an impression. I observed him in shul with his children. I observed him, and the person who told me about him knows him very well, and he holds the world of him. And yet his ksav is not the same dargah as the other person, but he's a very good person as well. It's a very tough dilemma. Very tough dilemma. I know big talmidei chacham that will go with this beautiful ksav. I know as a fact. But there's also an argument to say no. The ikur is, if in your mind you appreciate this person more than his dargah, this is what it says in the pasuk. What counts is in the 8 and in the Sofer, as the Radak says, are you Mekayim what it says, or are you not Mekayim what it says? A person that has a deeper fulfillment of the Kiyam HaTorah has a deeper dialogue of being an MS, a Sofer of MS, an 8 of MS. Okay, just a thought.
Really you, that
what?
Really you, the user, who's making the Sofer land.
Well, you have an object, the Chefs Shol Mitzvah. The Chefs Shol Mitzvah, who has crafted this Chefs Shol Mitzvah? So that's a... What? That's another very good issue. Another fantastic. If you are supporting, if you are writing tefillin for your child, for your grandchild, and part of the deal is that the one that's getting you commissioning to write this tefillin is an oni, a poor person who needs it for his parnasa, even though his ksav is not the best, that's a tremendous thing. Tremendous, tremendous chesed that you're doing. 100%. That's also part of the equation. 100%. In this instance, that was also part of the equation. That this person, this Talmud Chayim person, he doesn't have, he's not, not everyone is running after him. Very good, okay. Another quick thing, another quick idea. Yeah.
Where do you have a Isha? Kodosh,
yeah.
Who is brilliant, but he can't relate that well. And to have a person who is very, very good, but can relate to a child, which one would you choose?
Well, that's a matter of chinuch. Let's just talk about the writing. That question doesn't have any relevance. It depends for what. If you're dealing with chinuch habanim, teaching. Dealing with teaching, so of course you have to have a person that knows how to relate to this world. You're dealing with a person writing a mezuzah, tefillin, that's not relevant, his the way he relates to the world. That's a different issue. Okay, let me just tell you, let's just go over this powerful medrash. The medrash says that with regard to the word Eicha. It tells us here, this is the first time when Eicha appears, and the medrash says, this medrash actually appears in the, this is one of the first medrash in Eicha Rabbah, one of the first midrashim, because they were searching there in Megillah Secha to define the meaning of the word Eicha. And here is where, if you want to define the word Eicha, go look at a narrative. It's not really a narrative here, but look at a pasuk where Yirmiyah is speaking in more and more natural. Eicha, my Lashoin Eicha, Ella Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein l'shoin eicha elo l'shoin toichocha. It's not a question, it's a rhetorical question. The word eicha is an expression of musar. And this is the makar. Okay, the pas that we just learned is the makar for a megillas eicha, hado ma de'ato amar, eicha toimru chachomim anachnu, v'soras Hashem itanu. How dare you say that you are wise and the Torah is with you. You're liars. You don't observe. Maybe you have Torah knowledge. You've got Talmidei Chacham. You don't want to learn the Daf Gemara, but you don't practice what you preach. After you finish your Daf Gemara, you go out into the world and you do the worst avirus possible. Therefore, Eicha, from the context of this pasuk, it's clear that the word Eicha is an expression of Musar. And therefore, when you go back to Eicha, the Eicha just done, it's not just a question. It's like more of a rhetorical question. Okay, I want to conclude with Drush. The word Eicha, you know, we know in the Kinos.
How is well translated?
What?
Echa, but the translation by
Hansgrohe. How can you say?
Echa is how? Echa yoshva bodot. Echa means, like it's a rhetorical question. Echa, I don't know what.
It's like an astonishment. How
did we get into this mess?
Rhetorical question.
It's a rhetorical question. Okay, now you know in the Kinois, I just wanted to share with you one of our from last week's parasha in regard to Echa. We know in the Kinois. In the Kinois, the word Eicha is broken up. A ko. A, where is the ko? Or Ayeka. The word Ayeka, that's taking the letters and just changing the vowels. Ayeka, where are you? Where does a person find himself? But also, the most of it, I want to focus on the Kinois where it takes the word Eicha and breaks it up into two words, A ko. There are about 15 different references in Tanakh where the word ko is used to a major event. Koi yihye zarecha. Hashem said to Avram Avinu that do not worry. Vayotzi osa hachutza. Do not complain that you do not have children. The day will come when you will have children. Look at the stars. Ko yihye zarecha. Let's take another example of Birchas Kohanim. Ko sivarchu es b'nei Yisrael. There are numerous examples. I want to focus specifically on the Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim is the word ko. Ko is used in reference to Kohanim. Kohanim have 24 gifts, and the 25th gift is the fact that they're able to bless Klal Yisrael with the words ko sivarchu es b'nei Yisrael. The primary role of the Kohanim is to bless Klal Yisrael, and their role is introduced with the word ko. Moshe Rabbeinu, his koyach is the letters A. How do we know this? It's last week's parasha. Last week's parasha of Ish Moshe, Anov Ma'od, Mikol Ha'adam Asher Al Pnei Ha'adama. The word Anov is spelled without the letter Yud. And the Medrash comments, why is the letter Yud missing from the word Anov? Moshe was such a humble person. When Hashem told him to write for Ish Moshe, Anov Ma'od, he could not bring himself to write it Male. He cannot bring himself to write the word Onov, Ayin, Nun, Yudvav, so he left out the letter Yud, because he didn't want to take the humility. It was too much for him to write about himself that he was humble. Where else did Moshe Rabbeinu save ink on a letter, not writing a letter? The first possibility, one of the Chazal, Vayikra El Moshe. Hashem called to Moshe. Moshe felt that it was too much of a covet for Hashem to say that Hashem called to Moshe, so he wrote the Aleph small. There's a small Aleph in the word Vayikra. Why? Because when you leave out the Aleph, Vayikar. Vayikar is the expression that Hashem used in reference to Bilam. When Hashem spoke to Bilam, to Bilam, it's Vayikar el Bilam. It's just by chance. So Moshe did not want to take more credit for himself, so he wrote Vayikar. So I have two letters where Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saved ink. He was an environmentalist. He had Rachmanis on the ink, on the Aleph and on the Yud. What did he do with that ink? Chazal say that ink was spread, was smeared on his head, and from that he was zochet to the karne and the masved, the cover, because of the karne hod. He radiated. The humility of Avraham Avinu is what brought radiation. What other two letters? The two letters that Moshe Rabbeinu went easy on, the Aleph and the Yud. A. The essence of Moshe Rabbeinu is A. The essence of Aaron HaKohen is Ko. Ko Sivorchu Es B'nei Yisrael. Eicha Moshe V'Aaron Shekulim. Who are the two? Moshe V'Aaron B'Choyanav. Moshe V'Aaron were the two leaders of Klal Yisrael. The Rashi says that the Shekulim are you. Sometimes it says Moshe first, sometimes it says Aaron first, and teach you that Moshe V'Aaron together were the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Eicha represents the combination. On the one hand, it's an expression of tsar. Eicha Yoshua Badot, it's an expression of Musar. And Eicha also represents the letters that capture the essence of Moshe and the essence of Aaron. As if to say, the greatest tsar that we experience in Golus is a lack of leadership. Eicha means, what has become of us? What has become of us? The A and the Ko have gone away. When you don't have a leader, Kesed, or the many psukim that express this idea in more detail. When you don't have leadership, strong leadership, we just wander in the darkness. Nowhere to go, nothing to do, no guidance, and our situation gets worse and worse. This is an expression of Eicha. Eicha mitzadecha means, what has become of you? Specifically, where are your leaders? Or better, what have you done to your leaders? Why have you abused your leaders? Why do you ignore your leaders? You're just putting yourself on a path which is going to take you nowhere. All right, we'll stop here.